Thank you, choir. I know my Redeemer lives. Amen. You know yours lives. I was getting this morning, and Luke and Rachel said, "Dad, what are you preaching about this morning?" And when I told them, as you can read the screen, they said, "Oh, no." So I'm going to begin this morning by not apologizing for what the Word of God has to say about deception in America. And as I memorialize and as I think back, I remember what our country was founded upon. And our country was founded upon the living Word of God. And our Constitution was written, therefore, upon it. And now we have been deceived. And so I have entitled this morning, Deception in America. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11, and we're going to read two short verses, verse 16 and verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16 says, "Take care, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you. And he will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain, and the land will yield no fruit, and you will perish quickly off the good land that the Lord has given you." And as we go through this morning, there's going to be some things that possibly I step on your toes or I say something maybe you disagree with. And I want you to understand, if there is a conviction in your life on something that is biblical, take it up with someone other than me. Because what I'm going to do is open up the Word of God this morning. I'm going to tell you some things that I believe that we're deceived upon, which are not all friendly, great things to discuss, okay? But we're going to see what God's Word says about it. And we're going to open it up together. Have you ever heard that America has the best quality of life? You know, I think that we're born and raised to believe that. And I think that deception is one of America's greatest pastimes. Now, I want this to be light and serious. So I want to ask you a series of questions because I think about them and I kind of giggle at what we're doing. Have you ever wondered why there are handicapped parking spaces in front of a skating rink? That's kind of deceiving. Why is it that you have to walk to the back of the store? A sick person walks to the back of the store to see the pharmacist to get his medicine. Why do hot dogs come in packages of 10 and buns come in packages of 8? That is deception. Why do you have caller ID and then you have the voicemail for the call that you didn't want to pick up anyway? We are being deceived in our own lives because we are so good at it. We're so good at going to McDonald's because we have been convinced that bigger is better. Supersize me, king size me, supersize me. And we sure have, haven't we? Our country is bigger than it's ever been because we supersize. Bigger is better. You drive by a car dealership and it says zero down, $299 a month, last payment of $17,420. You get a credit card for 0% interest until 6 months, and then it's 20% for the next 30 years. We watch TV, we watch soap operas on TV that teach us how to kill, how to steal, and how to divorce our mates. We have new age now, and we have crystal balls that question constantly, was it really a virgin birth? We have witchcraft all around us. Now we have high school and college professors that are teaching evolution. Now you can go buy a phone. You can get a phone free. Did you know that? As long as you pay the $150 activation fee. We are deceived everywhere. And that didn't just begin with us. No, as Karen said this morning, it began in the garden. And Satan began to deceive Adam and Eve about the tree of knowledge. And he said, "Surely thou won't die. Surely thou won't die." Society deceives us. Have you noticed? They say, "Oh, it's okay as long as it's not excessive." Oh, it's okay. It's okay to go on a date and see an R-rated movie. That's okay. It's okay to watch trash on TV. It's okay to have premarital sex as long as you're protected. Society says it's okay to live with someone on a trial period to make sure everything's going to work out all right. It's okay to listen to trash on the radio. It's okay to dress however you want to dress. It's okay for vulgarity to flood out of your mouth. Society says, listen, there's nothing wrong with that. That's the sign of the times. That is where we are. And many will say, you know, Billy, you got to get over this because things have changed. Things are different now. And I don't believe that one bit. I don't believe things have changed as much as we, parents, adults, and churches, have changed. We have lowered our expectation. Our standards are not what they once were. Our standard has changed. And if our founding fathers, if our country's founding fathers could see the corruptness in our society, which they built around the Bible, I wonder what they would say. If only they could see us now. But the good news is the Word of God has not changed. The book has not changed. The Bible says God is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. God is big. He is a large God, and that will never change. Remember in Galatians 6 and 7, we read this morning, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. There are some things that I've chosen this morning that I believe society has deceived us on. And they're just common things. There are probably thousands of others. I've just chosen the ones I thought were prevalent. They're not the only ones. And I want you to understand this morning that these are not my opinion. I'm not giving you my opinion. But I'm giving you what the Bible says, and it really doesn't matter what we say. It really doesn't matter what you think you believe. What really matters is what is contained in this book that is holy, that is everlasting, and that never changes. You see, fire burns where you believe it or not. Ice is cold whether you believe it or not. Our society is corrupt whether you believe it or not. Poison will kill you whether you believe it or not. And God's book never changes. It's true, it's holy, and it's everlasting whether you believe it or not. So we're going to dive into this morning. Deception in America. And I know that you can think of many. I've selected a few. But I'm going to start with one of my favorites. I deal with it every day. Put it up there, Karen. Rebellious children. Can I get an amen? Rebellious children. Listen, parents, grandparents, it is not society, it is you. Boy, that hurts your feelings, I know. But it is true. If you want to read about parenting, go to Deuteronomy chapter 21 and read verse 18 through 21 where it says, parents, if your children are not disciplined and do not follow instruction, bring them to the city gate where the elders will stone them. That's not my words. That's what the Word of God says. In Genesis chapter 33 and verse 5, the Bible says that children are a gift from God. In Psalms 127 and 3, the Bible says children are a heritage from God. And then one of our favorite verses that we all like to use in Proverbs 13, 24 says, don't spare the rod, you'll spoil the child. Some translations say don't spare the rod or you don't love the child. Listen. Church, it is okay to tell your children no. It's okay. It is okay to discipline your children. If a 2-year-old is running your house, what's a 15-year-old going to do? And it's happening all across our world. Two-year-olds running their household. It is okay to have expectations in your home and for your kids. It is okay for your kids to do chores. It is okay for them to help around the house. It is not the sign of the times. Listen, we used to get what we expect. Now we only get what we inspect. Think of that. It's what we inspect. It's what we go see. It's what we look out for. The Bible says plainly, bring them up in the way they should go, and they will return. It does not say, bring them up however you want, and they will return. And we have people waiting on that promise to be fulfilled. And those of you who have brought them up in the way they should go, the Bible says they will come back, and you can stand upon that promise. But for those that have brought them up however, then that promise does not apply to you. There are parents waiting on their kids. And if they brought them up in the way they should go, then they will come back. Not because I said it, because that's what the Word of God says. You see, the Bible says that those that do not discipline their children do not love their children. Society blames it on the church. Society blames it on the school. Society says, you know what? That's just the way it is. Society says it's okay to be lazy. Society says it's okay to be disrespectful. Society says it's okay to do whatever makes you feel good. Society says it's okay to be unaccountable. Society says do whatever you want and mom and dad will bail you out. That's what society teaches us. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says, discipline your children. The Bible says, love your children. The Bible says, children, honor your parents. The Bible says, parents, children, obey your parents. You see, folks, we get caught up in all of this society and all of this, well, they're getting to do this and they're doing this and we're trying to relay with the Joneses. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says love them, bring them up in the way they should go, train your children, mark your homes, have blood on the doorpost. In other words, have the Word of God open in your house where they know, but they know, but they know that Jesus Christ is leading this home. And then they'll come back, even when they stray. Secondly, the Ten Commandments. We have stripped the Ten Commandments out of all of our buildings. We've stripped the Ten Commandments out of our schools. We've stripped prayer out of our schools because we don't need them in schools anymore. We don't want to offend anyone. We don't need the Ten Commandments in our schools and in our buildings. We don't need prayer in schools. Why? Because that brings about values and morals, and we don't want morals and values in our school system. We don't need the laws of the land. We can make our own laws. We can make and do as we please. And now in Paducah, Kentucky, and in Columbine, and in Jonesboro, Arkansas, and at Virginia Tech University, and every time you turn the TV on, we have replaced the Ten Commandments on the walls with blood-covered walls and lives lost. And that's where we are in America. We have replaced prayer in schools with memorial services for kids, for our young people. And instead of having these Ten Commandments on the walls, we've replaced them with blood-covered walls, even in as small as our little elementary schools. We have children fearing their own safety to get on a school bus. We have children fearing their own safety to walk into a school room and the cafeteria. And then we wonder why it's so hard to hire people of high character and morals and ethics and values into education. Why? Because the work environment is so bad that we can't hire those people. Society says it's an open school. We do what we want. Our kids act as they want. We've removed discipline from the school, and with that, the Ten Commandments are gone, all because of this moral and value thing that we've let slide right beside us. Three. Go ahead. One of my pet peeves, welfare. You see, we're kind of deceived by our government as well, aren't we? We should feel sorry for those that do not work, that can't work. Now, there's a difference. There's a difference in someone that can't work and won't work. And I'm talking about those this morning that won't work. I'm talking about those this morning that the working people of the United States feed and house every day because those people feel like work is too much. It's too big a responsibility. A matter of fact, they make more money staying home than they would if they went to work. They make more money having kid after kid after kid after kid than they would if they went to work every day. Should we help those people? Absolutely. We should help them. The Bible teaches us that we should help those that cannot help themselves. That's our duty. That's our service. But what about those that won't help themselves? What about those that will not help themselves? You see, and I think this is where we're deceived in the society. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says plainly, if a man does not work, he shall not what? It's pretty plain for me. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. That's plain. You see, and I think somehow, some way, we need to get these people off their blessed assurances and we need to get them to work if they want to eat. There are no free rides. Nothing's free. Somebody's paying for it. And we have been laying on this idea of things are free. I'm trying to do something that doesn't cost any money, doesn't cost me any time, doesn't cost me any work, and doesn't cost me any energy. That's what we're trying to find. Every one of us in here is looking for that job. We got to get past that. We have to understand there's not free rides. God wants us to serve those that can't help themselves? Absolutely. Do we need to take a meal to somebody that can't? Absolutely. That's a ministry. That's what we're called to do. We're called to help people. But God also calls people to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and go to work every day too. There's a difference. There's a difference in I can't and I won't. Number four. Another fun one. It's good this morning, amen? You're sitting out there, I'm sitting up here. Abortion. What does society say abortion is? Society says abortion is birth control. That's what they say. Society says abortion is not murder. Society says abortion is a choice. And let me tell you, I don't care what President Clinton or President Obama or any other presidents, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody says about abortion. I only know what the Bible says. So we can have Bill Clinton get up there and talk about, pro-life or pro-choice or whatever. But when I read the Bible, I find out real quick, abortion is not worth considering. Proverbs 6 and 17 reminds us that a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood are things that the Lord hates. I wonder what's more innocent than the blood of a child. I wonder what's more innocent than the blood of a baby. You see, we use abortion as a mistake eraser. We make a mistake and we try to erase it. in most cases. We make a mistake and we're trying to take, and then we end up taking this life of this innocent, and we punish the wrong people. We punish this little baby. And I believe if you take that life, you commit murder. And if you are a man and woman, and you are a man and woman enough to have a sexual relationship, then be a man and woman enough to what God has blessed you with and raise that baby. It's a responsibility issue. I believe taking that baby is murder. And murder obviously will be dealt with at Judgment Day. And every doctor and anyone who has ever taken that blood of that innocent little baby will stand before the Lord in judgment one day, and that day is soon. Abortion is not a choice. Abortion is a life. It is a life. It is a breathing human being. A life that is created by God Himself. And who is some doctor to stand up and take that life? And number five, I probably better end here. Homosexuality. Let me tell you what homosexuality is. Homosexuality is an abomination of the Word of God. Let me say it again. It's an abomination of the Word of God. God created woman in man's image to have a partner. I don't care that Al Gore recognizes Gay and Lesbian Day in downtown San Francisco. I don't care what Al Gore says. But what I know is this holy word I read says that it is an abomination of the Word of God. I don't care that we have gay and lesbian clubs in our schools. I don't care that we have gay and lesbian societies and alliances all across this world. I don't care. The Bible says it's wrong. And they can talk to you all about these alternative lifestyles and how I was born this way and all of those things. And that does not correlate with what the Bible says. The Bible does not speak of homosexuals becoming adoptive parents. The Bible does not speak of homosexuals, man and man, woman and woman, getting married. No, what it speaks of in Matthew 19 and verse 4 is that two should become united as one husband and one wife. It doesn't say man and man or woman and woman. Matter of fact, in Romans chapter 7 and verse 2, the Bible says the woman is bound to her husband. And I know that society calls it an alternative lifestyle, and it's okay to recognize those marriages. It's okay to let those people fit in. Listen, the Bible simply calls it sin. Now, am I shooting darts at those people? No, I'm not. Because we're called to love those people. But we're shooting darts at the sin itself. Of what it is. I know some of you are uncomfortable, some of you disagree, but I don't apologize for sharing the Word of God. I want you to know what the Word says about things that are happening in our society. We get caught up in our world so much that we forget what the Word of God says, and society wants you to believe that all of these things are personal choices. That's what they tell you. Oh, these are all personal choices, and I want you to know the Bible only gives us one choice, and that choice is heaven or hell. That choice is Christ or no Christ. That's the choice. And we make that choice every time we get up and leave this day, even without the gift of the cross. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, the heart is deceitful among all things. I want to close with this. This is when Minister Joe Wright, and you may have read this prayer, Minister Joe Wright was asked to open the new session of the Kansas Senate. Everyone was expecting usual generalities, but this is what they heard. This is Minister Joe Wright in Kansas at the Senate when they were having their opening. He said, Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe to those who call evil good, but that's exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We confess that. We have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word, and we've called it pluralism. We have worshipped other gods, and we have called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it lottery. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it politics. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography, and we call it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God. Know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent to direct us to the center of your will. We ask this in the name of your Son, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And the response was immediate. A number of the legislators in the Kansas Senate got up and walked out in the middle of the prayer because they were in protest. In 6 short weeks at Central Church, a Christian church where Reverend Wright's a pastor, logged more than 5,000 phone calls about this prayer. 4,903 were positive. The church is now receiving international requests for copies of the prayer, all the way from India to Africa to Korea. And so before Paul Harvey passed away, it showed up on Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, and it received a larger response than any program in Paul Harvey's history. With the Lord's help, may that be our prayer. Over our nation, and wholeheartedly become our desire that we again may be called one nation under God. I hope you're tired of being deceived. I hope you've read the handbook on parenting and responsibility and accountability and all of your choices. And if you hadn't read that handbook, it's available to you today. But let's stop letting society deceive us. Let's stand on what God's given us. Father God, thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come and share the Word of God. Father, thank you for our country. And Father, our prayer would be is that our country would fall back to their knees. Father, and we would get back lined up with your Word, with your will. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you, Lord, for their desire to follow you. Father, take this time of invitation, use it to your glory. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me this morning?